All right, so I'll say good evening. Thank you very much for accommodating, or at least those who are able to be here. Thank you for accommodating the time change. Baruch Hashem, a lot going on, but we missed already last week because of Yom HaZikaron. I didn't want to miss again this week, so thank you for accommodating the change. We have a lot to do tonight. I realize we did not finish the Ma'ar Makomos from last shiur. I think I'm correct about that. Right, I think we left off on actually source number 19, what is considered psoles. Does that sound about right? Yeah, okay. Good. So we'll say, so remember again, just a quick the packet that you have is the new one for this week. I did not print out additional packets from last week, but it should still be on the chat. So if you want to look at it on the chat, but otherwise I'll speak it out outside also. So we'll say, this is actually a very interesting topic. So remember again, we are slowly but surely working our way through the halachas of Borer. So remember again, Borer is one of the 39 halachas. How does one transgress Borer? One transgresses Borer from taking psolas mitoch ochal, from removing impurities from food. Therefore, again, the way to ensure that one does not transgress Borer is by adhering to three core principles. Number one, ochal mitoch psolas. Whenever you have a mixture, always go ahead and take what you want and leave behind what you don't want. Number two, miyad. One could do this only for immediate use. And number three, biyad. One does it with their hand and without a specialized separating utensil. If you adhere to those three criteria, then you have effectively avoided any issue of borer. Okay, so I'll say, so now what we did over the course of the last couple of shimmers, we've kind of gone through each of those things, trying to create halachic definitions. Well, we ended off in the last shir, was it two weeks ago, we were speaking about how long beforehand is considered to be miyad, and ultimately, what's the definition of a mixture. So that brings us to the last section of last Ma'ar Makomos. So I will say, this will be the source sheet that's titled 39 Melachos Borer Part 3. So it's not the copy I have in front of you now. I realize, you know what, I didn't post this on the chat. This week's is not on the chat, but last week's is on the chat. No, I didn't post last week's either. 2 weeks. Part two is not there. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. All right. So I'll explain it outside. Good. I'll work on my oratory skills. Come. Well. Okay. So I'll say. So what is considered psoles? So that's really what we're dealing with over here. What is the definition of psoles? The Mishnah Berura, for those of you who do have the sheet, it's source number 19. So the Mishnah Berura says as follows: Maniach Hashini rotze lomar sher da'oso sher rotze lechol ata choshuv ki ochel. Vashini chashav ki psoles. Mishnah Berura introduces us to the following idea. The designations of ochel and psoles are subjective. And I will say this is incredibly important because, of course, remember, when we think about the malacha d'oraisa, right? We think about the malacha zin of the Mishkan. So there's an objective ochel and there's an objective psoles, right? The objective ochel was the wheat kernels, right? And the psoles was the chaff. So what the Mishnah Berura points out over here is when you have a mixture, everything in that mixture may be edible. So what's ochel, what's psoles? Ochel is what you want now. Psoles is what you don't want now. Even if technically you're going to want it later on. The fact that I don't want it now makes it psoles vis-a-vis the item that I do want now. So for example, a person has a mixture of potatoes and meat, a stew. Right now, I want the meat. I don't want the potato. So even though, again, in 2 minutes, I'm not going to want the potato, but right now, I want the meat. So therefore, again, the meat will be the ochel, and the potato will be the psoles. Now, you might say, the Mishnah Berura says, but 1 second, since I'm going to want it, then 2 minutes from now, isn't that called ochel also, right? Or it could be, it's not, because you can't call it miyad, because you are actively separating one thing from another. So you can only call it miyad if ultimately, again, one is not engaging in an active, one is not actively relegating that item to a second tier importance. But in this case, you can't claim miyad for the potato and then actively take the meat and leave behind the potato. So the interesting part over here is that even though I'm going to want this second item relatively soon, because I don't want it now, therefore, Aloha Lamai said that is going to be called psoles. Okay, some other examples of this. In Simen Shin Yud Tes, Siv Gimel, in the Shulchan Aruch, so this is not on the sheet, Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. He says something very interesting. He says, Fine. Now remember, in this first part of the show, we're trying to figure out what is the definition of psoles. So number one, Mishnah Berura tells me, psoles is whatever you don't want now, even if you're going to want it later. the Mishnah Berurah, sorry, the Rama adds in, this is in Shin Yod Tes Sif Gimel, the Rama says, Ushnei Minei Dogim Mikri Shnei Minei Achalim. It's very important. Two items of what we'll call the same species could still be called a mixture, and therefore, again, could be a bar issue. For example, let's say I have a plate of fish, and on the fish, on the plate, is gefilte fish and salmon. Right? Gefilte fish and salmon. Or the truth is, this could even potentially even come up, I think even, to make it even a better case, even with sushi, right, where it's all called sushi, but if you have sushi with distinct identities, although we'll see the sushi case in a little bit, let's just keep with fish, right? Or maybe gefilte and salmon is too far apart. I don't know. You have salmon and what?
Tuna and salmon.
Tuna and salmon, right? You have tuna and salmon. So again, halach lemaisa, even though they're both called fish, the Rama says because they are two different types of items, that is called a mixture. So remember again, it's not a problem. All it means is that when you have a mixture, you have to be sensitive to what? Take the item you want and not actively remove the item you don't want. So even though they're both called fish, it's still called a mixture. Va'asra liver echa mechavero, ela biado, kedei la'achlan miyad, afa pisha chatichos kidolos, v'ko'achos nikeres liatzma. Now I will say, now remember, probably the most ambiguous part of Hilchos Borer, right? The most amorphous part of Hilchos Borer is what we saw in last year, which is the definition of a mixture, right? What is a mixture? Because if you think about this just a moment, right? I have a plate with fish, right? With tuna and with salmon. So let's assume for a moment that salmon and tuna look dissimilar. They look dissimilar. And I'm not talking about a case where everything is mushed together, right? There's a piece of tuna, there's a piece of salmon. The Rama says that's still called a mixture. So therefore, again, if you want a piece of fish, again, all it means is you have to take the piece that you want and not remove the piece that you don't want. I'm just pointing out, because I will say one of the opinions we saw in last year is that whenever you have items, the Aruch HaShulchan brought down, that whenever you have items that are clearly distinguishable, what did Aruch HaShulchan say? It's not a mixture. So, for example, right, the post can bring down that if you have, let's say I have in my refrigerator, right, in my refrigerator, on the shelf of the refrigerator, I have salmon and tuna sitting next to each other, not on the same plate, but just, let's say, right, sitting in the refrigerator next to each other. So the post coming down, that's not a mixture, and therefore you can take out or remove whatever you want. So I'm referencing this because this ambiguity or this amorphous kite of the definition of mixture is going to follow us throughout Hilchos Borer. It's just a constant, it's the constant fixture, and we're not really going to get complete clarity, which is all the differences of opinions. Fine. So I'll say, that's the Rama. The Rama goes on. Fine. In the Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to skip a little bit now. So along these same lines, listen to this. So this is actually a very interesting halacha that we're going to get to. We'll see it inside a little bit. Yayin Omayim. So this is Shin Yotes Sif Yud. So listen to, actually the truth is, I think I'm going to cover this in the next year because you have the Maor Makomos of the next year. All right, so let me go to number 24 on last week's Maor Makomos. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasav brings down. He says as follows. He said, so what's considered a psolas? So on the most basic level, whatever you don't want now is psolas. The Rama introduces us to the idea that even if you have two items that hail from the same species, both are fish, but if they're different types of fish, that's called a mixture. What do you do in a situation where you have a mixture and it's, in other words, I have a mixture, so I know what I have to do in order to avoid borer, right? What do I have to do? So let's take the item that you want. Miad biad. I got it. What happens if I can't do it given the nature of the mixture? So Rosh Hashanah Arbach says as follows. He says, Mutter la'adam lefazer v'lishtoach minim shonim ha'me'uravim zebazeh. It is permitted, halacha l'maisa, to go ahead and actively disperse a mixture. So I'll give you an example where this comes up. I have a whole bunch of silverware, right? That's like a pile of silverware. Now I will say, is that called a mixture? I'll give you a hint. Whatever you say, you're right. Right? It depends. It's a machlokas. Again, it will say everything depends on how you say a mixture. In other words, the Aruch HaShulchan bePashtos would say, not really. In other words, when you look at that, I can see what's a fork, I can see what's a knife, I can see what's a spoon. But yet, many of the other posts can bring down, no, that's called a mixture. So let's say, again, I need to set the table. So obviously, What you could just do is just pull out one at a time, and whatever you pull out, you set on the table. That's a little bit more complicated, right? Because again, you want to set the table in a certain way. So we'll say, so Shlomo Zalman says something interesting. He says, just take the silverware and just spread it out on the table. Like take the pile and just, I don't know, throw it. But, you know, cast it. Cast it gently along the table. So what are you essentially doing? What are you doing? You're disassembling the mixture. So again, Shlomo Zalman, it's interesting. For some reason, it feels like you might have thought that's prohibited to disassemble a mixture. Shlomo Zalman says it's not. There's no problem with that. Correct. You're not doing anything. You're not doing anything, right? I'm just simply spreading everything out. So it's just something to keep in the back of your mind that if you do have a mixture, that for whatever the reason you can't navigate with Ocha Mitoch Psolos, Miad and Biad, the easy approach may be just to scatter it and therefore take whatever you want. Correct. Mixture applies to non-food items, absolutely. Mixture is going to apply to silverware, mixture could apply to clothing. We'll see mixtures potentially could apply to svarim, to books, absolutely. Again, remember, even though the av malacha is by food, it applies to any mixture, absolutely. That is correct. Now, obviously, you'd have to scatter it sufficiently that it's no longer a mixture. In other words, if you just take a pile of silverware and you just go ahead and you just like put it down on the table, I think the mixture is still intact. But if you take the silverware and you like kind of release it like that, or really what you could do is you could hold the silverware. I think the same thing, you could hold the silverware and like, I don't know what the right technical term is, but slow release the silver along the table. That would also seem to be totally mutter.
You want to get one shot at it, or?
Listen, man, this is not rocket science, right? You should be able to get this right the first time. Yeah.
Can you spread it and do it again?
100%. 100%. The idea just is it has to be non-targeted spreading. That's the idea. In other words, what I'm just simply doing is I'm just taking the stuff and I'm just spreading it out. That's fine. Yeah, so you can do it multiple times. Multiple times, absolutely. So we'll say, Rav Moshe, so again, Rav Moshe, see, it was phrased like this to Rav Moshe. It's like this. Hay mutar levarer, kapos umazlegos aydi sheyizr came, kodim ala shulchan v'yifredu. I have a pile of silverware. I can't pick out what I need. Could I just, like his lashon over here is, could I go ahead and throw it on the table before I use it? And everything scatters. And right over here, he ate the tova. Rav Moshe says, by the way, not only is it permitted, but gut gezogt, as they say. It's an excellent idea. Excellent idea. Okay. Tabosai, that now brings us to this week's Mara Makomos, which is actually a continuation of this same theme. Tabosai, I want to go through some interesting examples of this. So take a look at source number one on your sheet. The Arachos Shabbos. Look what he writes. So remember again, this is still in the sugya of, there's a lot of overlap in terms of like, what's considered a mixture. So we're going back to that topic a little bit because again, I understand Ocha Mitoch Psolas, right? I get that. I understand Miyad for immediate use, even though again, we had a little bit of a dispute exactly what Miyad means. And I understand Biyad, by hand, without a utensil. I understand all of those things. The one part that I'm still struggling with a little bit is mixture. What is a mixture? So I'm going to show you some interesting examples of this. Take a look at Arachos Shabbos. How you lefanav chatichos kidolos ukitanos meuravos zu bazu v'kulon mimin echad. So we'll say, let's say you have a tray of meat. And on the tray, there are big pieces of meat and little pieces of meat. But all the same meat. Right, on the whatever, it's all brisket. Right? Oh well, I'm gonna save chicken for a second. I'm saving chicken. Right? It's all brisket, but there's big pieces of brisket, small pieces of brisket. So what's the halacha in a situation like that? He says, mutar livrar elu mi elu. That's permitted. You could separate. Af she'eno osa kena das la'ochlan altar v'afim mishtamish b'kli l'tzorech habreira v'atam d'cheven shekalach hatichos himi min echad v'shimushan shava ein bazeh shein taroves. So the Arachos Shabbos says meat that is the same type of meat, but the only difference is big pieces versus small pieces. That's not called a mixture. That's called all the same items. So you see something interesting. So on one hand, right, different types of fish are going to be called the mixture. So in other words, one can make the argument, if you have brisket and, roast beef and steak. So again, that's going to be a mixture, right? Because that's like the Ramon's case of tuna and salmon. But again, same type of meat, but different types of pieces. Even though, again, they're physically discernible one from the other. That is not called a mixture. And I'm about to say, once it's not called a mixture, then what's the halacha? Pretty much you can do whatever you want with it, right? You want to take away the stuff you want, take away the stuff you don't want. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. So the Mishnah Berurah comments on this in number two, and he says as follows. Vida de basar tzli umavushal. So we'll say, so remember again, we're going through like a progression over here. So in source number one, it's the same type of meat. The only difference is what? Only difference is what? Size of the piece. Right, so now we've indicated that halacha l'maisa, different sizes, doesn't matter. Right, it doesn't matter, that's not called a mixture. Mishnah Berurah in number two says as follows. He says, Vida de basar tzli umavushal. Mikri beis minim le'inyan zeh. So Rabbi said, what happens if you have meat prepared two different ways? Right? Let's say I have, his example is tzli, which is roasted, and mavushal, which is cooked. Right? So I have a roasted piece of meat and a cooked piece of meat. So the Mishnah Berurah says, that's called two items. Interesting, right? So what do you begin to see? What you begin to see, we begin to see, what allows items to be considered dissimilar and therefore in a mixture? So number one, if it's literally two different types, even though it's under the same species umbrella. So if it's fish, but one is tuna, one is salmon, that's going to be two items, and therefore it's a mixture. Possibility two is halacha l'maisa, same item, but what? Prepared differently. That's going to make it into two distinct items as well. The chol shekein, baso shel minei ofos mechulakin. Let's say you have chicken and duck, right? Both called fowl, right? Right? Duck is fowl? Yeah. Both called fowl, right? Right? And nevertheless, aval kin tzrichin lizar besudos kidolos shemunochin kama mine ofos yachadu boron laniach lamotzei shabbos shiver. So therefore, I will say, this is the Mishnah Berurah. So now, even two items of the same type, same exact item, but one is cooked, one is roasted, or one is roasted, two dissimilar items. Fine. Archo Shabbos number three. Listen to this. I will say, this is very interesting. What about how you the fun of chelke of shonim uravim zebazeh kigon shokayim chaze uknafayim? I will say, what about white meat and dark meat? Right? So you have chicken, white meat and dark meat. Or for that matter, again, just the different. You have a pork, you have a drumstick, and you have a wing. Not that we should be eating wings. That's a different discussion, right? We'll leave that for a different time, right? But lemaisa, right? You have. So now it's all called chicken. It's all called chicken, but it's different types of chicken on the same plate. So what's the halacha? See, right? So Rebbe says interesting machlokes. Yesh matir and levarin zemi zed chashuv minechad v'yesh asru bazeh. So I'll say interestingly enough, this was a machlokes between Rebbe Yashuv and Rebbe Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Yashiv Paskind, chicken is chicken is chicken. It doesn't matter white meat, dark meat, a polka, fligel, it makes no difference. In other words, if it's chicken, it's chicken. Right? Rav Shlomo Zalman felt, no, that's not true. Because really, again, different parts of the chicken, and certainly white meat versus dark meat, have very different flavors. And therefore, Aloch Lamais, even though they're both called chicken, they're considered to be two distinct items. And therefore, having them on the same plate together, ultimately, again, would be a mixture. Kasva Poskim, I'm in source number three, paragraph 11 Dalit. Kasva Poskim, Sha'af Bita Aroves Shalmin Echad, Imhu Makbid Tamid Shalo Le'echol Echad Mehem, Uli olam eino ochlo hare az nichsheves la taroves kishne minim. So Rabbi says, so this is very interesting. He writes over in Ocho Shabbos like this. So let's go with Rabbi Yashiv for just a moment, right? Rabbi Yashiv says chicken is chicken is chicken. White meat, dark meat, it's all called chicken. And therefore, if you have that all in the same platter, that's not called a mixture. There's an exception to that rule. What's the exception to the rule? If halacha lemaisa, you never eat dark meat. I will not touch dark meat, right? I'll only go ahead and eat white meat. So the Ochel Shabbos says, in that case, then it has two different, it's considered to be a mixture. Which are both like, this makes perfect sense. Why? Because what we've already begun to see is that in general, when it comes to what is Ochel, what is Psoles, it's totally subjective. Right? Remember, I just we know this already. Right? We're having a salad together. Right? I like tomatoes. You don't like tomatoes. So for me, tomatoes are ochel. For you, it's salt. It's the same exact tomato. So therefore, again, Rav Yashiv will say normally, chicken, white meat, dark meat, doesn't make a difference. It's all called chicken, one item, no mixture. However, if you have a personal hakpada, you have a personal insistence, and you don't eat dark meat ever, then for you, it's two different items, and therefore, that would be a mixture. And I will say again, I want to point out, it's not a problem that it's a mixture, right? That it's fine. It's just, what does it mean? What does it mean if it's a mixture? What does it mean? Right, you just have to be careful just how you're taking stuff off the platter. And you just have to make sure that you're taking the stuff that you want and not removing the stuff that you don't want. Very interesting. I will say, take a look at number four. This is a great case. This is a great case. Is one allowed to use a Brita on Shabbos? One allowed to use a Brita on Shabbos, right? The Brita water filter. I want to fill up my Brita container. Can I use it on Shabbos? I will say, now, Bepashtos, right, the whole chop of a Brita is what, right? What are you doing with the Brita? It's a filter, right? That's the whole chop of it. In other words, I'm going ahead and actively filtering out impurities. So look what he writes in number four. So I will say, in the Sefer Hilchos Shabbos, B'Shabbos writes as follows. Aval b'mayim saludin legamrei, shaloni keres klal habreira, bahen le'in haroa, delo nikar bo klal lichluch v'kisim, rak shiyish makpidim tuva gam la hama'at hazeh she'en onikar klal, bazeh, so both saying in Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos coming from Eliashiv, he says like this, that there is no borer by Brita, right? Why is there no borer? Because they're both saying to the naked eye, right? There is nothing discernible to the water, right? There's no errors. What he's introducing over here, both say, is the definition of a mixture has to be two or more items that are combined together in a recognizable way. So the fact that there are impurities mixed into the water, so again, if I can't see it, the halacha says it's not really there. It's not really there. I'll say, you know, this in general, you know, when there was the whole controversy with the drinking water in New York about all the different things, that in general, there's like a whole school of thought that says, if you can't see it, it doesn't exist. Halachically, it doesn't exist, right? There's always microbial whatever in everything. Halacha says if you don't see it, it doesn't exist. Therefore, again, Rabbi Yashe Paskins, that one could use the Brita on Shabbos, number one, because there's no mixture. Why is there no mixture? Because all you see is water. There's nothing else that is recognizable. He adds in something else. He says, "Debemayim nekiyeh me'abaras lo yitzuya shiye eiza adam shemak b'chlo lishtos klal." So I'll say, furthermore, he says, at the end of the day, if somebody was really thirsty, right, and there was no Brita or filtered water available, I will say one might even take the incredibly brave step, right? It's unheard of today, of drinking water from the tap, right? You could do it. You're going to be, I mentioned this, I have this conversation with my kids all the time. Like when they're thirsty, they just grab a water bottle. I'm like, guys, you know, it's fine. It's not an expense thing, but you understand, like, you just take a cup. Right? And not even a disposable one. You actually just take a regular cup and you can just fill it up from the tap, right? And it's perfect. It's good. So, I'm sorry? I love tap. I am makbid to dafka drink tap water. I'm makbid. No, chas v'shalom. I could. Yeah. The only place I'm more makbid to drink tap water is in Eretz Yisrael. I think when people say they can't drink the tap water in Eretz Yisrael, I also have to tell you, I think it might be like a little bit of the Chet HaMeraglim, right? You're not allowed to say anything negative about Eretz Yisrael, even about the water. You want to say you prefer something else. You could say, can't say you can't drink it. You can't, and a different discussion. Anyway, so I'll say, so number one, Rabbi Yashiv says, Teraloch Lamaisa, if you really needed the water, you would use it. Further, Rabbi Yashiv says, and I think this is true, he says, no one uses purified water for cooking. At least I don't think so, right? The people you do, mamash. Okay, good. Besides for Ellie, right? He says bevashtos. Again, so you see that. All right, people might be makbid, but it's not like people are makbid not to use it. So based on these two things, we'll say number one, that any mixture is not recognizable, and number two, that if it was needed, you would use it, right? You would use it either again halacha lemaisa, for drinking or certainly for cooking. Therefore, it's not considered to be a mixture. So because it's not considered to be a mixture, therefore, halacha lemaisa, it is not a problem with water. So it's very important. So halacha lemaisa, you could fill up your Brita on Shabbos. Fill up your Brita on Shabbos. Okay. I will say, one example I did not put on here is, what about Svarim? So we'll say, so this can happen, right? I have a pile of Svarim, a pile of books on my desk. And I need the one in the middle. right? So am I allowed to go? Is that a mixture? Or for that matter again, maybe I just want to go ahead and get to something on the bottom, but I want to remove the top ones. Is that considered a mixture? So both say, Rav Avadja Paskin, and again, this is really much more aligned with the Aruch HaShulch, Rav Avadja Paskin, that Aloch Lamaisa, a pile of books, or for that matter, a pile of books is not a mixture. Why? So why would you say, why is it not a mixture? Because they are distinctly distinguishable from one another. And I will say, now remember again, this goes back to like, what is our definition of a mixture? So if we kind of go with the Aruch HaShulchan's idea, that a mixture means you have more than two things combined together in a way that makes them semi-indistinguishable from one another. Now, it doesn't have to mean that they're totally indistinguishable, but it means that like they blend into a mass. You know, that's how I'll give you the example, like a salad. Jose, right, when you look at a salad, are the individual items distinguishable? Right? Bipashtos, yes. But you know, like when you put the salad, I'm talking like with the dressing, you know, everything, it becomes a mass. It becomes a mass together. So I think that's the distinction that's being made. It's mixtures or things that are together, which A, number one, do not become a mass, and by extension are also individually distinguishable from one another. Halacha l'maaseh says it's not called a mixture. So therefore, a pile of books is not going to be a problem. Okay, so before we move on, because we're going to transition out to another discussion, so what we have over here is as follows. What we have over here is that essentially when trying to figure out what is a mixture, right? So two different types of fish will be a mixture. Two different types of meat, either literally again, you know, like a brisket and pastrami, or again, even the same type of meat, but prepared differently is going to be a mixture. Same item, big pieces, small pieces, not a mixture. Chicken, machlokes aposkin. Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, right? So again, is white meat and dark meat, is that considered to be one entity, or is that considered to be a mixture? So that is a machlokes. However, everyone will agree that if you're makbid, that you only eat white meat, I'm using white meat as the example, you only eat white meat and you'll never eat dark meat, everyone agrees that what? That for you subjectively, those are two items. Yes, or Matt?
What about the penalty of doing what? I'm just thinking like, okay, I'm at the table and I took a pasolas rather than what I wanted, and I'm in the middle of it, and I went, oh, I took a pasolas, and da-da-da. Okay, you know, like if you turn on a light accidentally, you're not supposed to, or better example, if you turn off a light,
you don't turn it back on.
You're not supposed to turn it back on.
Right.
So what are you supposed to do if you caught yourself doing this?
Right. So if you caught yourself doing this, then
you're stuck with white meat.
Right. Yeah. I don't think so. Hopefully not. So your case is okay, let's just play this out for just a second. So I go ahead and I went ahead and somebody passed me a plate with chicken or whatever with salmon and tuna, and so what I did is I removed the tuna and left the salmon. I removed the tuna and left the salmon. So now you're asking after the fact. So now what do I do?
Take a piece of the tuna to show that maybe it's not.
No, I'm trying to think because, like, we're going to see, like, by Bishul, when we get to Bishul, which I want to do next in marriage, when we get to the halachos of cooking, we're going to see that, like, if you accidentally cook on Shabbos, right? Let's say you wake up Shabbos morning, you totally forgot it was Shabbos, so you're going ahead and you made yourself an omelet. You made yourself an omelet, right? And what happens? And now you, thank you, another thank you. And now, so the halacha is you can't eat that omelet till after Shabbos. So I don't know, is there such a concept like that by Borer that if you accidentally did an act of Borer that you can't consume? I don't know.
You've never done it?
I've done a lot of stuff in my life. This I can say. Baruch Hashem, this, I don't know, for some reason, I can say this is not something I struggle with. But at least not that I'm aware of. I don't know, that's a good question. I don't know what the repercussion is if you accidentally did an act of Borer.
You took off something you didn't want. So
right.
So you did once.
Yeah,
can you go back to the plate and take something off you didn't want?
I'm trying to think how it would play out. Like, somebody gave me, I could just say, somebody pre-plated food. Right? The plea bread. So I have now on the plate, there's a piece of salmon, a piece of tuna. I want the salmon, I don't want the tuna. So I took off the tuna. Yeah, so would it make sense to say that I can't eat the salmon?
The malacha's done already.
I'm sorry, the malacha's done already. No. The shayla just is. The shayla.
Can you benefit
from
chicken breast? You want the thigh, but and you took the breast by action, like, oh, I don't. That's not what I want. Can you put it back?
Start over.
I mean, if you have company, don't put it back. Right? I'm just saying, you know, it's maybe, you know, yeah, it's not a bar issue. It's like a covered up Rios issue. But, right, that's the question. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know, because that's how I give the example by Bishul. By Bishul, if you do an accidental act of Bishul, right, the halacha is you can't get benefit from hers. You can't say, well, listen, I made the omelet already. I made it already, right? Might as well bring it to Kiddush Kol. But again, you can't, right? You can't go ahead and do that, right? You can't eat it. So the question just is there some type of knas? But I don't know what the knas would be. What would be the knas that you can't, because you removed the psalms, therefore you can't eat the item you want?
You can't eat until after Shabbos, just like Amir La'akum. You say that you have to wait till the time.
But that's because you can't get benefit from the item you created. Here, you didn't create something, right? In the case of Bishul, I created the omelet, and Amir La'Nachri, I instructed the guy to do something, and he created something. Here, what did I do? I removed the item I didn't want. It's not the pshat that I created the ochal, right? The ochal is, I don't know. It's a good question. Okay, I'm going to look into that. Amir Hashem. Great. Great. In the meantime, just be careful. Until I get back to you. Until I get back to you, okay? No. Don't do that. All right. So let me show you some other interesting cases here. Take a look at number five. Shabbos say, we actually mentioned this in our last shir as well. This is a very important concept. The Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Asr liklof shumim ubitzalim kishakoli flahaniach avalecho la'alter shari. Peeling vegetables, peeling fruit, peeling vegetables. So the Ramah's example over here is, you can't peel onion or garlic for later use, but you could peel it if you're going to go ahead and consume it now. I will say, if you remember again, we spoke about why should you even be able to peel it now, right? Peeling it, I will say, is literally an act of bora. What am I doing? I'm removing the peel. I don't want the peel because I don't want the other stuff. So isn't that an act of bora? So Maria, what was the answer we gave? What was the answer? I'm sorry? Correct. It's called derech achila. It's not called borer. It's called consumption. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, it is going to be permitted. But it is only permitted for immediate use. Right? So in other words, it's very important. Like, so for example, if I'm making a salad for lunch, so now I want to go ahead and I want to peel some onions, peel some garlic, that's fine. But if I want to peel onion and peel garlic now by lunch, and I'm going to use it for shalosh shudis, that you can't do. So in other words, the heter of derech achila, that is a normal manner of consumption, works when it's for immediate use, does not work when it's for later use. Okay, and the Be'er Halacha in number 6 says as follows. He says, the chevan, look at just the underlying part. He says, the chevan, the efshar be'inyan achar, since Shabbos said, there is no other way to get to the onion, there is no other way to get to the garlic. Right? And Rabbi said, by the way, you could just fill in the blank with whatever other item you want. There's no other way to get to the banana, right? There's no other way to get to the orange. So therefore, again, even though Rabbi said this would seem to be textbook borer, because you are actively removing the thing you don't want in order to consume the thing you do want, but because this is, there's no other way to consume it, and therefore, again, so it's two things. Number one, there's no other way to get to the food. And number two, this is the normative course of consumption. So because of us say this is the normal fashion of doing things, because there's no other way, therefore it's not called borer. The only caveat is you could only do it for immediate use. Now I will say, so here's what's interesting. So this works well in cases of items where the peel is not consumed. Onions, garlic, oranges. I will say, by the way, I want to show you something interesting. Even though one can make the argument, let's say buy an orange, right? There's a way to circumvent this. How do you circumvent it? Right? Cut it into fours and just eat it like that. So even though that is a way to eat it, the normal derech achila is to peel off the peel. So halach lemaisa, in cases where the peel is not normally consumed, halach lemaisa, I am permitted to go ahead and remove the peel, even though that would seem to be borer. Number one, because that's the only way to eat the item. And number two, because that's called derech achila. So we'll say, where this becomes interesting is, what about items where the peel is consumed? So take a look at number 7. Peros sherov ha'olam ochlin osam im klipasan. So we'll say, let's say, for example, apples. I think the majority of people eat apples with the peel on. The correct assumption? Good. Good. We've decided that here. We've made a global decision that the majority of people, I love, it's a very scientific study we just conducted over here. Thank you for the head nods. Right, so you're also like this, right? So the alien part is like this. You have a fruit, you have an apple, which the majority of people go ahead and eat with the peel on. So now, as we'll say, so now, am I allowed to peel that apple on Shabbos or not? In other words, what would you say? Is the removal of the peel an act of borer or not?
It depends.
What does it depend on? So, okay, so Steve's going back to saying maybe this is like the white meat Darton thing. In other words, remember, it's about me also. In other words, if I only eat peeled apples, right? So then again, it should still be mutter. Why? Because for me, that's the only way to eat the apple. And therefore, technically speaking, it should be mutter. Right? So we'll say, one would think that halacha l'maisa, well, if you can eat it with the peel on, so therefore, again, you can't peel it because then peeling it is going to be an act of borer. But the Egli tells us something amazing. He says, no. Because people normally eat it with the peel on, therefore what? The peel doesn't have the status of psoles. The peel has the status of ochel. And therefore, if you choose to peel the apple, it's totally fine. Because peeling the apple is no different than what? No different than what? Cutting a slice off the apple. Right? And just like cutting the slice of the apple, of course, is going to be absolutely unequivocally permitted. So too, peeling the apple will be permitted as well. Yes?
Can you make the case that peeling an apple, you're not going to, especially if you're peeling it with a knife, not a peeler, you're not going to really be doing it with the precision and you're taking it off.
Oh, so good. We'll leave that for now. We have to talk about that, about when you're taking ochel together with the psoles. Let's assume for a moment you are an Olympic apple peeler, right? You're precision peeling. Right, so Lamaisi, you could only get the peel without taking off any fruit. Still, it's actually very interesting because what this says is over here is that any item that is normally consumed with the peel becomes ochel. Because the peel is ochel, therefore halacha l'maisa, there's no mixture. It's all considered ochel. And because it's all considered ochel, therefore no borer problem. So read inside. He says, Peros, shirova olam ochel nosem klipasan. So fruit, which the majority of the world consumes with their peel, ein bikilufan mishum borer klal. Peeling it does not pose a problem of borer. Umutra l'kalfan afilu bikli hamyuchedes l'kiluf v'afilu l'achar zman. So we'll say not only that, but even if you wanted to peel the apple with a peeler, right? It's permitted. We're going to talk about peelers in just a moment, but it doesn't matter, right? Why? Because it's not borer. Why is it not borer? Why is it not borer? There's no mixture, right? Why is it no mixture? Because people eat the peel as well. So just interesting. So by the way, I think what's interesting about this halacha is, I think even you see this more now. Like, I don't know. I remember as a kid, in the shtetl, you know, people always peeled cucumbers, right? Now, it seems to be that it's more regular also that people don't peel cucumbers, right? That they leave the peel on. So I'm just pointing out, it's just interesting. It's just interesting that Lamaisa, again, this is also very societal. And that's how the Egli Tal, if you notice over here, he doesn't give an example, right? He just gives a principle. A fruit which is normally consumed with the peel on it, the peel is considered to be part of the fruit. All right, so we'll say, so I'll give you another interesting example of this. Take a look at the Rebbe. We'll finish off with this today. He says, he goes over the mug in Avram, so go ahead and peel apples. So I'll say, I just want to point out something interesting. So just so you see a distinction here. Items which are normally peeled, right? Which are normally peeled. So halacha l'maisa, assume that the only way to get to the food is to peel the item. You're allowed to peel it. You're allowed to peel it. The only caveat is what? When can you peel it? When can you peel it? Immediate use. That's category one. Category two are items that are normally consumed with their peel. In which case, the peel is not psoles. The peel is ochel. So we'll say, you could peel that. And when can you peel it? When can you peel it? Whenever you want. Whenever you want. There's no miyad. There's no miyad issue over here. So Rabbi say, so now here's what's interesting. What about the following situation? Look at the number 8, the second line in. V'chein eich linhog ba'ar shal'of v'dag haru'uya la'achila u'klipas et. So we'll say, what about the skin on chicken? Skin on chicken. Can you remove the skin on chicken on Shabbos? Or is that, and I said, by the way, this is like a very lamaisa case, right? So now, again, you can understand, can I just pull off the skin? Or literally, do I have to eat the chicken underneath the skin and not remove the skin? So Rav Moshe writes over here, Rav Moshe Paskins, is just, I'll tell you this outside just because of time, he says that halacha lamaisa, the skin and the chicken is one thing. He holds that skin is to the chicken like the peel is to the apple. That in other words, it's one thing. It's one thing. Okay, you don't want to eat the skin. That's fine. But from a halachic perspective, from a categorical perspective, halacha l'maisa, they all go ahead and have the same exact classification. Okay, now let's say, now I'll share you something interesting. Take a look at number 9, the Aruch HaShabbos. He says, K'nira dvarav amurim b'makomo shakol b'nei adam regilim le'achal ha'ar. Ach b'metzios hashchicha b'eretz Yisrael, sherabim einam ochlim es ha'ar, havei kipsolas. Fascinating. So again, I will say, which is not surprising. So here writes Aruch HaShabbos, he says, this is societally driven. So Rav Moshe was an American posek. I guess when Rav Moshe wrote this, it was common. People eat the skin with the chicken. Aruch HaShabbos says, in Eretz Yisrael, people don't eat the skin with the chicken. In Eretz Yisrael, it's much more common that people would remove the skin. So therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, he says, skin will be psoles, chicken will be ochel, and you literally have a border situation. Whereas in America, Rav Moshe Paskin, that skin, ultimately, again, skin would not be a mixture. It's one of the chicken. I will say. Now, so how do we Paskin? So remember, again, these things are very subjective. This goes back to what we saw before, right? For example, Rav Yashiv held white meat and dark meat. Rav Moshe, what did Rav Yashiv say about white meat and dark meat? What's the halacha? What's the halacha? It's one min. However, what's the however? If you only eat white meat and you never eat dark meat, then for you that's going to be a mixture. So it's going to be the same thing over here, Abba says. It's going to be the same thing. In other words, if you never eat the skin of the chicken, you never eat it, then enachinami, that is going to be a mixture. And Abba says what that would mean is, and this is a very shayach case, you cannot remove the skin from the chicken. Rather, what you would have to do is eat the chicken from underneath the skin. All right, Abba says, well, a lot of good cases still to come in here, Hashem. We have a lot more to... lot more to do. I think I want to spend one more week on Borer. I'm very, very, very eager to get to Bishul. A lot of great stuff in Bishul. So I think we'll spend one more week on Borer, Mir Hashem, then get into Bishul. Again, thank you. Next week, back to regular schedule. Thank you for accommodating the time change. There's going to be Mincha in here now, Mir Hashem, as well.